This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. The Alamo, once again, center of controversy, not over battle lines, but over the story, the history that's being told there. Republican state leaders have forced out the head of the Alamo Trust, raising concerns that the site's interpretation had become too, quote, woke, especially after efforts to recognize Indigenous Peoples Day and the contributions and sacrifices of Native people who lived there, worked there, died there at the Spanish Mission long before the famous 1836 battle. Supporters of a more inclusive history say that you can't tell the story of the Alamo without telling the story of the people who built it, the Coahuilican and other Native communities whose labor and culture shaped early San Antonio. Critics argue that the focus should remain on the fight for Texas independence. Joining us to discuss this is Ramon Vasquez with the American Indians in Texas at the Spanish Colonial Missions. He's been at the forefront of efforts to ensure that Indigenous voices and histories are not erased from the Alamo story. And Ramon, welcome back to The Source. Right? Good to have you.
Thank you.
So tell us what exactly happened at the Alamo with the removal of the Alamo Trust executive director. How do you see what's going on?
Well, you know, it's unfortunate, but, you know, we do see this as posturing and using politics to assert a certain narrative that a few people have wanted to keep at the forefront of this project. You know, so it's you know, over the years, I've been involved since 2014, and for the past 5 years has been the best 5 years of this process. And you know, that's been under the leadership of Kate Rogers, and I think that she's made an authentic effort, you know, to be inclusive of the stories that are involved on the site. And it's unfortunate that that politics has to play into this site.
So it started on social media. The Alamo Trust put out a X tweet saying, you know, about Indigenous Peoples Day, it's, you know, which is October 12th. And then some right-wing activists saw that, and they were like, oh, my God, how could this happen? And we saw the politicians, like Land Secretary or Land Commissioner Buckingham, also get involved, and it kind of grew from there. So can you talk about that part of things? Like, okay, so are we going to let the social media activist call the tune here about what we're going to do about history and the Alamo?
Well, I said this is the same day that, you know, when I was informed about the post being removed. It was a very irresponsible approach for the General Land Office to take a position like they did, because they have been involved in this process from day one. Since 2014, somebody from that office has been involved in this process all the way through. They have not only been physically involved in the decision-making process, all the conversations that have taken place in all the different committees that we've held, but they've also funded it. So they've paid for these meetings. Millions of dollars have gone into the conversations and hosting these conversations by the General Land Office. So to take a position like that was irresponsible. You can't talk about the site without talking about the American Indian contribution. If it wasn't for the American Indian contribution, there wouldn't be a site. If it wasn't for the 10,000-year history of occupation of American Indians on that site, there wouldn't be an Alamo to talk about. There wouldn't be a San Antonio to talk about. And there wouldn't be a state of Texas to liberate. And that's a fact.
So when you hear them say that the Alamo has become too woke, what do you think that means? What is that, woke? How does that...
You know, again, you know, I really don't even know what woke means. Okay, I don't understand that language, but other people do, I guess. And how I interpret that is alternative facts. You know, that using and driving alternative facts to tell a narrative, and anything other than that is considered woke.
Well, these are not alternative facts. So this is hard you know, I mean, this is reality.
It's reality. I mean, these are facts. So are the facts that the American Indian contributed to this battle.
Yeah.
So is the fact, all these other facts, you know, that they're choosing not to emphasize because of an unfortunate 13-day history out of a 100-year history of a physical location.
Remind our listeners that our phone lines are open, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. Are you concerned about what is happening at the Alamo as it's being, I don't know, reimagined, redesigned? Has it become too woke? What do you think about this controversy over history? Who gets to control the narrative of Texas identity? Do you think this is more, Ramon, this is bigger than just the Alamo?
Well, I think so. I think it's playing out to the climate of today's what's going on in the country.
Like the anti-DEI stuff.
All that information, all that, I think it's all playing into it. And that's what I meant by, you know, unfortunately, politics are making their way, encroaching into this process, which is not a very, you know, kumbaya process has all the way, but it has been a very good process that we've been able to have discussions, have talk about histories and including other people, you know, the narratives that also are attached to the site. And the identity of this place does not rely on, it's not just with one group of people. There are several people that this physical location's identity is tied to: American Indian, Spanish settlers, Canary Islanders, African descendants. This history is, there's many people's identity attached to it, not just one.
I remember when the Daughters of the Republic of Texas would operate the Alamo, and they were very wedded to telling the John Wayne version of things, which is not history, it was fiction. But that was a fiction that served a very much a white supremacist kind of view of Texas. Do you think they're trying to go back to that?
Well, I think if they have it their way, they would like to go back to that. I think they'd like to keep it there, and which is unfortunate. You know, because we when you're allowed to pick and choose what facts you want to include in this story, under the premise that our visitors are coming here for only one thing, and that is to learn about the battle and to appreciate the battle. The opposite to that is that our visitors then will feel less, because they were given more of an experiential experience by being provided more education of the site. Really what we're saying.
For a long time, decades, people have complained that the Alamo experience was underwhelming, that they would go see the Alamo and they heard about the battle, you know, they got the tour and they wanted more.
Yeah, and I think what they're interpreting that as also being they wanted more of a theme park. That's how many may be interpreting that. And what we're trying to do is provide more education of the site to tell the whole story, how we ended up in 1836. Because everything from the Tejano Liberation Movement, all that history is all events that led up to the 1836 battle, and to not tell that full story, I think our visitors leave less educated.
Well, now they do have walking tours in English and in Spanish. They do have displays that show the wider history. There has been investment and plans to build museums that tell the indigenous. But has anything changed? Have we heard anything now that Rogers is gone? Hope Andretti is in charge. Are they going to change anything? Have they talked to you?
We have not heard anything as of yet. I sit on both the Alamo Museum Planning Committee, and I also sit on the Alamo Citizens Advisory Committee. I do understand that we do have a meeting being scheduled later this month for the Alamo Citizens Advisory Committee, but I have not heard nothing from the Alamo Museum Committee.
Have they emailed you any updates about what is happening? Or are you just getting your information from the public media?
Public media.
And how does that make you feel?
Well, I mean, as somebody who's been involved in the project since 2014, somebody who has served four mayors in this committee, a citizen of the city, a taxpaying citizen of the city, you know, I feel like potentially all the work that we've put into this as citizens on these committees have been for nothing. And that doesn't set well.
I mean, because they haven't told you, haven't kept you informed. I mean, you should have been at least informed officially.
Yes.
You have not been informed officially because of your positions on these committees.
That's right.
No one has told you anything about the departure of Rogers and the appointment of Hope and Ready.
No, and I'm gonna hope that they're still trying to figure it out themselves, because I think this was unexpected. Probably expected by others, but unexpected for the rest of the committee. And just like what happened in 2021 with the Alamo Project, when we had to have a full reset because the state did not agree, I'm thinking they're trying to figure out their next steps too.
All right, we're going to take a break here. Number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. Talking about the Alamo, what's happening with the Alamo Trust, changes in leadership. Are they going to change their promises that they have made about telling the full story of the Alamo? Give us a call, 833-877-8255. Source continues after this.
Support for the Source podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at uthealthsa.org.
A donation comes in many forms: a sustaining membership, a one-time gift, even a home, land, or commercial property. Donating property is a great way to give back, and you may even claim a tax deduction. Get the process started today. Call 844-277-HOME or visit tpr.careasy.org/realestatedonation.
Listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio, I'm David Martin Davies. The American Indians in Texas at the Spanish colonial missions, they would like some answers about what is happening right now at the Alamo with the recent removal of an Indigenous Peoples Day post by the Alamo, and also reported internal retaliation against staff who has supported that acknowledgement, and now the removal of the head, the president and CEO of the Alamo Trust. There's a lot going on there, and not a lot of transparency and information. The Alamo is supposed to be a Texas icon, the cradle of Texas liberty, but is it just going to be for just a few Texans or for everyone? Give us a call, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. With us in the studio in this discussion is Ramon Vasquez with the American Indians in Texas at the Spanish colonial missions. Let's go to George on the phones. And George, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Ramon, thank you for your great information that you're sharing with the San Antonio community. And David, thank you for hosting this special event. I would like to reinforce a comment that Ramon has made about the lack of transparency and communication. As a member of the Alamo Citizens Advisory Committee since December 2017, I can tell you that there is a lot of questions about the committee itself. We have not met formally since March 24th, 2024, though we have made several requests that there be a gathering of the advisory committee. That meeting on in March of 2024 was a Zoom meeting. And so the lack of communication has been very troublesome to the membership. So those are my comments. If you have any questions, David, I'll be willing to participate.
George, so what do you make of the departure of Rogers and the appointment of Hope Andretti?
Kate Rogers and I had a very testy relationship. We on a number of matters, but she was and I had a very respectful relationship. We differed on content, but she was really starting to understand the complexity of the Alamo. And we're going to miss her. My hope is that the Alamo staff that's there, particularly Ernesto, he's the brilliant, most important historian we've had in San Antonio in years, that he remain on staff. But I am very disappointed in Kate being removed because she was starting to really understand the complexity and that it's more than 13 days.
All right, George Cisneros, thank you so much. I got to let you go. Ramon Vasquez, do you want to react to that?
No, I think what George said is exactly right. I mean, Kate Rogers, we saw her as, as someone who was doing her best to navigate through the politics, but understanding the importance of including the histories and the stories that have been historically left out.
Let's go to Debbie on the phones. And Debbie, you're on the air.
Hi, I just wanted to make a comment. I'm a sixth-generation Texan. I was a daughter of the Republic. I'm no longer active in that group. By genealogy, I have Hispanic grandfather, German immigrants, Scottish immigrants, and Indian Native American. And the thing that always upset me is that all of my relatives living in this area, 1836 and before, they all had something to do with the Alamo and San Fernando Cathedral and all of that area. And I felt like the importance wasn't emphasized about the people who actually lived in the area and who were actually affected by what was going on. And I'm really saddened because I really feel like politics has played such a devastating role in getting out the true history and not ignoring every person or race or community that was involved in the state of Texas in 1836. And I just wanted to make that comment. Thank you.
Thank you for calling in, Debbie. Appreciate it. Dan Patrick, not from Texas. He has a very superficial, he doesn't have deep roots in Texas. Do you think that makes a difference?
Oh, of course it makes a difference. I mean, because he doesn't understand, he's playing to a base. It's clear as day what's going on. And as Debbie said, yes, it's unfortunate that politics is creeping its way in. But, it's not too unusual because the entire battle was about politics, right? And philosophies. But as Debbie says, there are many people's identities attached to this site. And for generations, that story has been left out. And here we had an opportunity, a $500 million project in the city of San Antonio to tell the full narrative, to actually allow our residents and our people that live here, our San Antonians and Bexar Countyans, to see themselves and their history and on this site. We saw that as an opportunity. And I think we're just going to have to fight a little bit harder. We were fighting a little less with Kate Rogers there, but I think now, I think it means that we might have to, bring these discussions more to the public and get more other descendants and people who are long-time San Antonians to advocate for a fuller story. I mean, San Antonio has a lot of real estate in this game, in this project. The cultural landscape of that battle alone involves much more than the acreage that it's on in the terms of the cultural landscape in San Antonio. Bexar County has invested $25 million, taxpayer dollars, in the Alamo Museum planning in the museum to ensure that the full story was going to be told. The state of Texas has put in millions of taxpayer dollars into this project. Private investors have put in millions of dollars into this project. And for that money to be used the way it has, to just throw things out the window because some people don't agree with what's going on, it's just blatant abuse of taxpayer dollars or just fiduciary responsibility to a site.
Let's talk about one of the longstanding issues that you have had with the Alamo, is that the recognition that it is also a cemetery?
Definitely.
So what's happening with that?
Well, you know, nothing's happening with that. And I had confidence through this process that we were currently involved in that these things would be addressed. But right now, my confidence is completely out the window in regards to the protection and the preservation of the cemetery.
So tell me what you wanted.
We wanted this cemetery to be preserved and the people to be memorialized that are buried there. There's over 1,000 people buried on the site of the Alamo. The city of San Antonio in 2021 paid for an archival investigation of the cemeteries. There's a document that was a report that was created for this project that talks about the cemeteries, that talks about all the people that were buried there. This in 2019, the Texas Historical Commission designated that cemetery as a historical cemetery of Texas. And so I and others in with the American Indians in Texas and the Tehuelpan-Cuauhtecan Nation and other lineal descendants, we want to know what is the plan now to preserve that designation as a historical cemetery and to memorialize the 1,000 people that have been buried there. We have all the church records. All the names are listed. So it's not like we don't know who was buried.
So this isn't just something that somebody made up. There is
actual
documents.
There are the church records are there in the church archives. There, everybody has them now. We all know who they, you know, where they exist. But this is this was the oldest cemetery in Texas, in San Antonio. It's the first Catholic cemetery of San Antonio. These were all Catholics that were buried there, and according to the Archdiocese of San Antonio, none of the burial sites, Catholic cemeteries at any of our missions have ever been desanctified, nor have any of the remains ever been removed from these cemeteries. So they're still there. As a matter of fact, in the past month, additional human remains have been uncovered. So there has to be some accountability. The state of Texas has laws, and unfortunately, these laws are not being applied to this site. So the question has to be, why do the laws that protect these burial sites across this state do not apply to this location? And I hate to think that it's just because there's nothing but dead Indians and Mexicans buried there and that they don't deserve the protections that other cemeteries and burials receive across this state.
We're almost out of time. Got about a minute here. So in 2027, they were supposed to have an exhibit, a special exhibit about the indigenous peoples mm-hmm. and the Alamo. Is that still on?
Before October 13th, it was on. After the post and all the hoopla that all this stuff that's happened since the post went down, we don't know.
Because that could be woke. I keep wondering about that woke stuff.
You know, somebody needs to define it because it sounds like they're using the term when it's convenient to them.
Yeah. All right. Well, Ramon Vasquez with the American Indians in Texas at the Spanish Colonial Mission. He's been at the forefront of efforts to ensure that indigenous voices and histories are not erased from the Alamo. Thank you so much for coming in today. Appreciate it.
Thank you for the invitation.
That's The Source on Texas Public Radio. Yeah.
American Indian Day month.
Say it again.
Happy Native American month.
All right. That's The Source. Thank you for listening.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies. Tim Gutierrez is the show's producer. Additional production support from Steve Short, Ruben Garcia, Yvette Benavides, and Dan Katz, Vice President of News. The Source is made possible with support from the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation. Support for this podcast of The Source comes from Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a workers' compensation provider committed to rewarding policyholders who keep their workers safe and losses low. More at texasmutual.com/TXM Advantage. Texas Mutual. Texans get it.